So we are in a sermon series that we just started recently on evangelism. And last week, Mr. Woodrow preached about how evangelism fits with discipleship. They're both related in a way. And we saw how the early church had used this whole process, and in the end, just to bring glory to God. But today we're going to be focusing on what does evangelism mean to the believer, as a Christian. And I guess what I want to clarify first, like, what is evangelism? I mean, we know that it is sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with one another. But then at the same time, I want to clarify, sometimes a lot of people, we get mixed up on what evangelism is. So what are some of the things that some people may think that is evangelism, but in a sense, it's not really. So one, sharing your testimony. Yes, that is important, sharing about how God has changed your life with others, but that, in a sense, is not evangelism because, I mean, although the gospel message is maybe in your testimony, but it's not the full presentation of it. Second, social works, doing good works, like some of us may like to go out and help out in the soup kitchen or something. All those, yes, that's a good thing to do, but that is not evangelism. And third, apologetics, or in a sense, defending the faith. Oh, creationism versus evolution, or looking at the evidence in the Bible to see whether Jesus really rose from the dead. That's defending the faith, but that is not evangelism because it's not the gospel message. So we want to make that clarification first. But today, as we look into our passage, we'll see what Jesus has to teach us concerning about evangelism and what that means to us as Christian believers. So if you have your Bibles, please take them out and we'll turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 to 34. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34. I know you guys might be thinking, man, Ivan, 34 verses. That's going to be a very long sermon, right? No. Actually, it's not that bad, actually, because we're just going to be focusing on just the few parables that Jesus is teaching us, and we're going to be explaining what he means by those. All the little discourses in between them, talking about how the disciples wanting to understand the parables, although that is important, that's not going to be our point of focus for today. It's just going to be focusing on these parables. So Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34. Verse 1. Again, he, Jesus, began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no roots in themselves, but endure for them a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil, and the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Verse 21. And he said to them, Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 26. And he said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, and then full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Verse 30. And he said, With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you to your word. And just reading this passage, Lord, we know that you like to teach in parables, but for many of us, just reading it through once, like, we may feel confused. We may not understand right away what your word is saying. But I pray, Lord, that if there is a desire in us to learn, to be able to know what is in your word, Lord, I pray that you would grow that desire within us. I pray that you open our eyes and open our hearts to teach us what you are trying to say to us concerning about evangelism, concerning about sharing our faith with one another. So, Father, I pray that at this time you will be with us. And we ask of all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So we have four questions that we're going to address today from this passage that we've read. So number one, we're going to ask the question, what will God hold us accountable for? What will God hold us accountable for? And then number two, we're going to then ask, what won't God hold us accountable for? So what won't God hold us accountable for? Number three, then we'll answer the question of why should we evangelize with hope? So why should there be hope when we share the gospel with one another? And finally, number four, we're going to answer the question of what focus should we have as we evangelize? So what should be our focus when we share the gospel with one another? Here, I'll repeat those one more time. Number one, what will God hold us accountable for? Number two, what won't God hold us accountable for? Number three, why should we evangelize with hope? And four, what focus should we have as we evangelize? So we're going to be looking at each of the four parables that that Jesus had been talking about in this passage. And we're going to explain it as we answer these questions. So I know the parable of the sower was mentioned first, but we are actually going to focus on the second parable that he mentions. So the parable of the lamp under the basket. So that's from verses 21 to 22. So I'll read that one more time. From verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So actually, when we read about parables, okay, we must understand what they are. See, a parable is essentially an extended simile. So basically, there's only one point of comparison, and when you read these parables, there's supposed to be only one main point that is drawn out of it. And sometimes, like, when we read these parables, we can try to make all these different, like, interpretations. Oh, this represents this, this represents that. But that's not the intention of a parable. A parable has one point of comparison, and there's one main point. So what is the main point of this parable with the lamp under the basket? So we know that a lamp is meant to be put on a stand, right? And it's supposed to give off light for everyone. It's not meant to be put under a basket. It's not meant to be hidden under a bed. Actually, I was thinking, if you put a lamp under a bed, wouldn't your bed catch on fire? So that's not good. The thing is, what Jesus has given to us should be revealed to everyone. So likewise, we as Christians, what has been revealed to us? And we know that is the Word of God. We know that is the gospel message of how Christ came down to save us. And we're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to put it up on a stand. We're supposed to share with everyone. So that's why we answer our first question. What will God hold us accountable for? And God will hold us accountable for sharing the gospel with others. You know, one day at the end of our life, like, we will come before God and we'll have to give account to Him of how we lived our life. And it's not like what we do in our life would affect our salvation, would affect whether we go into heaven or not. But basically, Jesus is essentially saying, how have you lived your life? How have you obeyed my command? So why do we have to give account to God about whether we share the gospel with others? Well, one, we know that Jesus had commanded us to in the Great Commission. And also, second, and we know that this is a reality, and it's sad. But hell is just as real as heaven. And last week, Mr. Woodrow had even asked, like, during the time when he and Blossom were at a Bible study a long time ago, and someone had raised the question to them, does it concern us that many of our friends and families who do not know Christ yet, if we believe that this is the Bible and this is what the Bible says and it holds true, that they will not be able to spend eternity in heaven without Christ? Does that concern us? We are given a light, and we are meant to put it on the stand and show it to everyone. Therefore, we should also have the will, have the desire to go out and share the gospel with one another. Okay, so if that is what God is going to hold us accountable to, then what won't God hold us accountable to? So now we turn to the parable of the sower. Let us read from verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while then. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones who sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Actually, I know that this parable is really familiar with all of us. I know Mrs. Woodrow had oftentimes talked about this. So we won't go into too much detail about it, since you all, I know, are really familiar with it. But actually, in a sense, actually, this is not a parable. This is actually an allegory. So an allegory is an extended metaphor. So meaning that there's actually multiple points of comparison in there, and there can be multiple messages in it. So, and we can see that through, like, the different places where the seeds were sown. So we know that we're supposed to share the gospel with others. And in this parable, at least that what or allegory that's showing, is that we are the sower. We sow seeds of the gospel to everyone. Okay? So that shows that we are accountable to God for that. And in this parable, we saw how these seeds land in different places. And Jesus already explained this parable to us here, so it makes that my job a little bit easier here. So the seeds that are sown on the path, they're the ones who hear the gospel, but then they reject it because Satan didn't allow them to. But then there are also those seeds that are sown on the rocky ground. So those are those people who hear the gospel and receive it with joy, but then they reject it when persecution or when trials come up. Then they're the ones sown among the thorns. They're those who hear the gospel, but then they reject it because they love the world more and its desires. And then finally, they're the ones who are sown in good soil, and those who hear the gospel, they accept it, and they bear fruit, and they grow. So, although we can go into more details about these, talking about this, but that's a whole another sermon here. But I think we can agree on this, at least from what this parable is saying, that when we share the gospel with one another, people are going to have different or various responses, right? So at least it's shown that in this parable, it shows four different responses. And if you look into the text and in this parable, you see that all these responses, they mention nothing about as effects of what the sower was doing. All the sower was doing was just casting out the seeds, was planting them. But the responses of how that seed was received had nothing to do with how the sower sowed. So question number two. What won't God hold us accountable for? God won't hold us accountable for how others respond to the gospel. God won't hold us accountable for how others respond to the gospel. But I think, like, oftentimes we are afraid. One of the barriers that I see from, like, having the will or having the desire to share the gospel with others is because we're afraid. We're afraid of how they would respond. But that shouldn't be the case, though. Because we know that they need to hear the Word of God. And you don't have to turn here, but I know I've shared this verse in a previous sermon before. In Romans 10, verses 14 to 15, it says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless some they are sent?" So we know that God has already sent us to go proclaim the gospel. We know that we're supposed to preach to them. And only in that case, that's when people can be able to hear. How they respond to the gospel is their business with God. I would like to give like a short illustration. And this, you don't have to turn there again, but this illustration comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, and also chapter 33, verses 1 to 9. And Ezekiel was a prophet, and God gave him this illustration, gave him this vision, to basically say that the things that he has revealed to him, to Ezekiel as a prophet, he's supposed to reveal and tell others. So in this illustration, there is a watchtower, and it's, you know, usually like a city would have like a watchtower, and in the watchtower we have a watchman or someone in there who's supposed to be, keep on the lookout. And what is his job? If the watchman looks around and then he sees there are enemies coming towards the city and about to attack, so what he's supposed to do? He's supposed to go turn and tell the city people and warn them that there are people who are coming to attack. But let's say in this case, let's say that the watchman, he didn't care. He was lazy. He looked out and saw, oh look, hey, there are enemies that are coming along the way. And then he doesn't do anything. He doesn't warn the city people. So what happens? Then the city isn't prepared, they get attacked and they get overtaken. But the thing is, who is responsible in that case? It is the watchman, because he didn't warn the people. But let's take a different scenario. Let's say the watchman was there and he saw enemies coming and he did warn the people. He did tell them, look, the Fire Nation is coming. They're going to attack. Avatar reference. But what if those people, they're like, no, you're lying. Well, LOL, you're just JKing. We don't believe you. And then the enemies come and they attack. So in this case, the watchman is not responsible. He did his job. He warned the people. But the people didn't agree. Or they didn't believe him. They didn't accept. So likewise, we as Christians are almost like that watchman. If we really believe that this is the good news, if we really believe that Jesus had came to die on the cross for our sins and we were to have eternal life, if we believe that this is the best relationship that we can have, like among all the relationships that we have right now, then wouldn't we want to share that with others? And God is only holding us accountable to whether or how we share the gospel with our friends or our families, those in our lives who do not know him yet. But we're not held accountable if they don't accept or if they don't respond in that way. They need to make that decision of whether they want to accept God or not. Let's move on to our next parable. And this is the parable of the growing seed. So let us take off from our passage again and start reading from verse 26. Verse 26. And he, Jesus, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So once again, this is a parable. What's the main points? What is Jesus trying to say here? So we know when we see that a farmer, he cannot force a seed to grow. And in fact, he doesn't know how does a seed grow at all. As you maybe today, like with our science and our study of like plants, maybe we do know how a seed will grow, like through the germination process. But back then, they didn't know that. But that doesn't take away from what the point that Jesus is trying to make here. So we know that this work of planting and growing crops is a work that requires a lot of faith and patience. So how does that apply to us? Remember, I said that we are the sowers. We are the ones who sow the seeds, sow the gospel message to one another. So likewise, we who sow the seed and share the gospel with others, we cannot force others to accept Christ. No, we don't know, at the same time, we don't know how, like, the gospel is manifested into that person's life when it does grow in their heart, when they do accept. And why is that? And that is because it is the work of the Holy Spirit who's working in their hearts. We can't say, seed, grow, and do all these things to make it grow. We can only plant, we can only water, we can only cultivate it. So that the process of growing is the work of the Holy Spirit, is the work of God. So question number three, why should we evangelize with hope? Why should we share the gospel with hope? And it's important to have that hope. And that's because we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit, not ourselves. We rely on the work of the Holy Spirit and not ourselves. You know, the title of this whole sermon series, you know, is called Evangelism, Stepping into the Supernatural. So this is, the title emphasizes the fact that evangelism is a supernatural work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. We're just being faithful in sharing the gospel. And I think there are people in our lives, like, we can at least think of one person who we think will be one of the least likely people to accept Christ. Maybe this person is very hostile towards the Christianity or to Christians. Maybe because of the lifestyle they live, you know, maybe they're an atheist. And you just wouldn't expect or think that they would come to know Christ. But would that or should that stop us from sharing the gospel with them? And I don't think so. Because once again, if that stops us, then that's, you know what that's saying? That's saying that we, or me, I can't do anything. I can't say anything or do anything to be able to prove or show to this person that God is real, or to make him or show, make him accept Christ as his Savior. But that's because we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to work in their heart. And we heard many stories, we hear many testimonies of how so many people, the unlikely people who do come to know Christ. We know one in the Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul, or who used to be Saul. Remember who he was? He was the guy who hated the Christians. He went around and he persecuted them. He even approved the stoning of Stephen, who was one of the Christians who was a martyr. To the Jews at that time, they thought that he was one of the most unlikely people to come to know Christ. But then what happened? God appeared to him, like, on the road to Damascus. And it was that, the work of him, it was the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, that worked in his heart. So who else in our lives do we know who we may think is unlikely, or at least from our eyes, from our sense, to know God? And we shouldn't give up hope on them. And that's why we should evangelize. We could share the gospel with hope, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit and not us. Okay, finally, let us go towards, return back to the last parable that Jesus mentions in this passage. Start reading again from verse 30. And he, Jesus, said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds of the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. What is the main point of this parable here? So Jesus talks about the mustard seed. And to them, he said that it is the smallest seed of all the earth. Actually, the mustard seed isn't really the smallest seed on the earth. There are actually other types of seeds that are much smaller. But in that culture at that time, the mustard seed was a symbol of to represent something that which is tiny. So the people who were listening to Jesus, they got his point. They knew that mustard seed was small. But then, when it was planted, it grew to be one of the biggest trees and one of the biggest plants in the garden. And in this case, Jesus was talking that the kingdom of God, although it started off small, will grow to become very large. And we see, at that time, you know, it started with Jesus and his apostles, right? And then they went on proclaiming the gospel, and more were added to their numbers. Remember last week when we looked at that on the PowerPoint slide with the long line that we had? It started with the apostles and then went on to evangelism, baptism, discipleship, and then again evangelism, baptism, discipleship, evangelism, baptism, discipleship, and so forth, until the end, which is glory, bringing God glory. We can think of it linearly that way, but actually I was thinking about it, and in a sense, it's not just one line. I think of it more as a tree. Yes, we started as with Jesus and his disciples, but then each of them would evangelize and share the gospel. They baptize and disciple, and more of those people who come to know Christ would do the same thing. So in a way, everything branches out, and there is growth. Remember back with the third message in the discipleship series, and we talked about how one of the results and goals of discipleship is that there is multiplication in the church. This is sort of the same idea here. So where the kingdom of God is growing as more people come to know him, as more people can be able to come to a saving relationship and want to praise and worship God. So question number 4. What focus should we have as we evangelize, as we share the gospel with one another? We should have a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset. What does it mean to have a kingdom mindset? It means that we desire for God to be glorified. We desire for people to come to knowing faith and saving relationship with Him so that they can praise and worship Him. And this parable here should give us that hope that the kingdom is continually growing. And we are a part of that as we go evangelize, as we go put our light on the stand, as we go sow those seeds to people. So we can see in this passage, Jesus uses all these different, these four parables to teach us a lesson on how Christians should be when we evangelize, when we share the gospel. Let us review all that we had talked about today. So first, number one, we had asked the question of what will God hold us accountable for? And we know that God will hold us accountable for sharing the gospel with others. And He used the parable of a light that's under your basket, or a light that should be put on a stand, as an illustration. Number two, what won't God hold us accountable for? God won't hold us accountable for how other people respond to the gospel. And we saw the implications of that as we looked into the parable of the sower, and how those seeds were casted into different types of lands, and how the different responses of how the seed grow or didn't grow. Number three, we then ask, why should we evangelize with hope? So we should evangelize with hope because we rely on the work of the Holy Spirit and not ourselves. It is God who grows this seed, that seed that we planted to other people. And finally, number four, what focus should we have as we evangelize? And that focus is to have a kingdom mindset. So I want us to just take some time to think about this and meditate upon it. How is God speaking to your heart? I know this is a message for me too. Don't think that just because I'm going to seminary or I am going to be a pastor or whatever that I didn't struggle with this at first. When I was when I first applied to the seminary, I realized and learned that one of the requirements that they had was that throughout the semester we would at least share the gospel with at least 15 people. And at first I was like, why make it a requirement? Shouldn't it be something that's natural? Like, shouldn't it be something that we know that if the Holy Spirit is leading me to share the gospel with someone, then I will do it? And I think deep down inside, I was making an excuse. Because I think I was afraid. I think I had some barriers or concerns with sharing the gospel. It's not that I didn't want to, it's just that, there's something that was holding me back. So that's why I had to pray, and I had to ask God to help me, to forgive me for having this way of thinking. And so far, God has been faithful to that. And this is my same prayer for all of you. It's a good reminder to me, and I pray that it speaks to you too. There are many people in your lives. They could be right in your own families who do not know Christ yet. They could be your friends at school who do not know God. Look around us here today. I say there's about 30 some of us here. If all of us, if we share the gospel to one person and even invite them to church, then we can see there'll be a lot more people coming to our church and having the opportunity to learn about God, to learn about what Christ had done for him on the cross. And that will change your life because we know that. We know how God is real. We know how God had worked in our lives as a testimony. So I ask again, do we have that desire? And are we willing to obey God's commandments? Are we willing to trust God that He can be able to help us and give us that desire to willingly share the gospel with one another? Let us pray. O loving and heavenly Father, You have been so good to us, and You show us many things in Your Word. We know that Your Word convicts us and teaches us. It rebukes us and corrects us and trains us in righteousness. Father, I pray that however You're speaking to us today, I pray that that seed that You plant in us, I pray that that seed will grow and take forth and take growth. Father, we come before You and we confess of those things and those excuses, those barriers that we know that hinder us from being able to share the gospel with other people, Lord. I pray that You'll continue to show us, Lord. I pray that You'll continue to help us learn to love You more. And maybe those who we share the gospel to, I also pray that they would come to a saving faith and saving relationship with You, Lord. We desire for Your kingdom to grow. We desire to praise and worship You, Lord. And maybe for some of us here today, Lord, maybe we came to church for the first time, or maybe we're just hearing all this for the first time, and we just wonder, like, what is so great about Christianity? What's so great about this, a relationship with God? If that's the case, Lord, I also pray that You would speak to us, Lord. And when we show one another Your love, just as You had loved us. And we lift these things up in Your Son's holy name. Amen.